CTV.
Welcome to MZTV. I'm Mark Zender, and as promised, I am here with my friend Matthew Holland of Norway. Hey, Matthew.
Greetings, all fellow believers.
All fellow believers, and to those of you out there who are not believers, why aren't you believers yet? Just kidding. We are going to talk about some important issues concerning the final years of Millennium 6. I promised you that we were going to talk about the Jubilee years in Israel. Every 50 years in Israel was an important time. We're going to tell you just how important it is and how we can use the Jubilee years to figure out when Jesus Christ is returning to this earth. Wouldn't you like to know that? Yes. I've taught on this, as you know, in my Revelation series, and there's nothing changed here. But Matthew is going to give us further information that will confirm everything I told you in the Revelation series, that in the sub-series of the final years of Millennium 6. So Luke chapter 3, I'm just going to introduce this thing, and Matthew's going to take the ball and run with it from there. Did I tell him you were from Norway?
I'm from America, but I live in Norway.
He's from America, but he lives in Norway, yeah. He's a native American. Well, not. You are natively of America.
That's correct.
And he moved to Norway. And I hope his daughter comes out here because she's just a lovely, lovely girl. But if she happens to come out the door of the cottage where he's staying, I'm going to put her in front of the camera. All right. In Luke chapter 3, this is a really crazy thing, I think, because there are so many details given here. Many significant things are happening at the same time in Luke chapter 3. And God wants us to know exactly when that time is. And Matthew's going to tell you why it's important to know what that time is. I'm just going to read the opening couple verses here, Luke chapter 3. And now in the 15th year of the government of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, yet Philip his brother being tetrarch of the province of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias being tetrarch of Abilene under Hannas and Caiaphas the chief priest, came a declaration of God. Why is God taking special troubles to detail for us what the year that Herod was tetrarch of Galilee and Philip was tetrarch of the province of Iturea? Because this is an important time right here. And we're going to use this time, beginning in Luke chapter 3, as a time peg to calculate times into the future and find out when Jesus Christ is going to return and set up the kingdom on the earth. Because look what happens right after this. John the Baptist is heralding in Luke chapter 3, and then Jesus comes to the Jordan River to be baptized. Luke 3:21, Jesus is baptized, heaven is opened up, Holy Spirit descends as a dove. Then his genealogy is listed in verse 23:3-38, all the way to Adam. That's one significant genealogy. Then in chapter 4, this is all at the same time. Remember, chapter headings are not inspired. Jesus, full of Holy Spirit, returns to the Jordan, went to the wilderness 40 days, and was tried by the adversary. Folks, this is the beginning of Jesus Christ's public ministry. He's baptized. His genealogy is given all the way back to Adam. And immediately as he walks away from the Jordan River, having been baptized, he goes into the wilderness. He's tried by Satan. Then what happens? Then he comes to Nazareth and he stands up in the synagogue, and this is the beginning of Jesus Christ's public ministry. Now, when I was early in my Christian walk, you know, I was trying to find out what the deal was with the end times, and I knew that God works in thousand-year increments, right? And I was always curious to me. It seemed important 2,000 years after Christ, right? That was an important thing because we know God is working in a 6,000-year period of time during which humanity has rule of the earth. And then in the 7,000th year comes the kingdom of God. So I thought 2,000 years after Christ is significant, but I didn't know where that 2,000 years started. Would that 2,000 years start at Jesus Christ's birth, or would it start at his death? Where it starts, and Matthew's going to elaborate, is on the day. The 2,000 years from Christ starts on the day that he announces his public ministry in Nazareth. Matthew, take it from there.
All right. reason for this is Christ's start of Christ's ministry is where he appears to Israel as their Messiah. And he announces the acceptable year of the Lord, reading from Isaiah. And the term acceptable year of the Lord equates to the Jubilee, which is really interesting. From the very beginning, God has always done all major events around the calendar given to Israel. The Jubilee is not talked about in the vast majority of the Christianity very much. They know bits about the other festival days in the calendar. The sun and the moon were given to us for times and seasons, and it's what allows us to know the times and seasons. And these events throughout the history of Scripture have always taken place on these major holidays. The Jubilee itself, from Leviticus 25, 8 through 55, you can read there for yourselves the details of the Jubilee and its description, but every 50th year was the Jubilee. And it was a special year. No harvesting was done. They ate from the land. The Hebrew slaves went free.
Yeah, that was
the
a big
land
deal.
Went
yeah.
back to the original owners. It was referred to as the year of release. It was all about being free, and it is a perfect picture of the time of the thousand years, the quote unquote millennium. And we know from the creation story that in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. God continues his number pattern throughout Scripture always. And so we have 6,000 years, and the 7,000 year is the 1,000 years promised to Israel. If you take 6,000 years and you break it down into 50-year increments, you get the number 120. And this number is found throughout Scripture everywhere. It's the life of Moses, 120 years. Moses had 3 40-year time periods in his life. It's interesting that after God was frustrated with man in the beginning, he said his spirit would not strive with him and his days would be 120.
Mm.
I mean, that can mean both things possibly. And we know 1,000 years as is one day. So yeah. You take all of these.
2 Peter 3:8 reference, 1,000 years is of the day.
That's correct.
A day is 1,000 years, yeah.
And so when you start to look at these, it's very interesting how God is constantly using these numbers. 40 jubilees from Adam brings you to Abraham and Isaac. 40
Even though the jubilee wasn't technically instituted yet, right?
No, it wasn't technically instituted yet, but the clock. The sun and moon were created from the beginning.
Yeah.
And God established a calendar based on that. And we can calculate the number of years. That's the purpose of all these genealogies in Scripture. It allows us to just add up.
Right.
40 jubilees from Abraham, Isaac, you come to Christ. And then 40 jubilees later, you come to Christ's return. The big question here is, number one, where does the counting start for that final 40 jubilees from Christ? It's interesting that Christ, here's the main reason I believe that it was at the beginning of his ministry. Christ appears as Messiah to his people on Day of Atonement, according to Leviticus 25, announcing the acceptable year of the Lord, which is when the jubilee year was announced according to the law. And it's interesting that the statement was made in Acts where Peter basically tells Israel that the kingdom would have come then had they accepted their Messiah. So picturing the 1,000-year period, the Jubilee, and he starting his ministry in the Jubilee and appearing to his people as Messiah, to me seems perfectly rational that he would return again in the fall of the year before the jubilee of the 40th jubilee.
Yeah, because as you said, the jubilee with the slaves being set free, It's and
the land going back to the original owner.
The land going back to the original owners. It's such a perfect picture of the millennium.
That's right.
And it's also what Jesus came to set captives free. When he started his public ministry, that's what began to happen. I mean, he started healing people and raising people from the dead. And it was a type of what was going to happen when the ultimate release was going to come, right?
Yes, and freedom is always kind of center to it all. He set us free for freedom, it's written. So looking at all this and also trying to figure out, okay, is this really true? Is this Jubilee thing interesting? Or is it something that we can really have an expectation for? I found something very interesting in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet. Ezekiel is an interesting book. Everything he prophesied is end-time prophecy. It hasn't happened yet. And his book starts out by giving us dates and years. And as he prophesies, he continues giving us dates and days of the month. And it's just very unusual. It's the only time in the whole book that a prophet does this. It's kind of a different kind of thing. And God doesn't do anything on accident. It's all purposed. The first chapter of Ezekiel starts out with the statement that it's the fifth year of their captivity, and it's the 30th year. But he doesn't really explain what the 30th year means. We know it's not his birthday, and it's, what's the 30th year? Well, you have to understand Israel was still keeping the Jubilee calendar, and this would have been the 30th year of the Jubilee. As you go along in Ezekiel, and you guys look into this for yourselves and just read it carefully, you'll start to see that he's putting little time markers in there. And you see the unfolding of the last years of tribulation and the time of Jacob's trouble. And you come to the establishment of the 1,000 years and the promised time and the measuring of the temple in chapter 40. This is the beginning of the 1,000 years. And the chapter starts out by saying simply that it's the 25th year of their captivity. And you have to be paying attention. That's exactly 20 years later from when he started his prophecies. And 20 plus 30 is 50. You come to the Jubilee.
So let me see if I understand it. So at the 50th year, which would have been a Jubilee year, Ezekiel prophesies concerning the kingdom.
Yes, his prophecy is transitioning from the time of Jacob's trouble into the establishment of the 1,000 years and the measuring of the temple.
And that would happen exactly on a Jubilee year.
On the Jubilee year.
Okay, so you've established for us that Jesus Christ is standing up in Nazareth on the Jubilee year.
Yes. Well, he's standing up on atonement, announcing the acceptable year of the Lord, which would begin the spring of the following year.
Okay, begins the spring of the following year.
So Christ would hence, theoretically, on this train of thought, would return in the fall of the year, possibly the Feast of Trumpets.
I think that's right.
And return for Israel. And there are some events. If you look into the prophets and Revelations, you start to see that is a time period of cleaning things up, and then they'll have it ready for the kickoff of the 1,000 years at the spring, which is the beginning of the year, and as well as the beginning of the 50th year.
So we have a key in Ezekiel.
Yes.
We have a key in Luke chapter 4 and chapter 5, Luke chapter 3 and chapter 4, I should say, of Jesus standing up at the Day of Atonement before the favorable year of the Lord starts, the Jubilee year. Now, I know you have more to say on that, but can you give us the importance of the number 40? Because what we're saying, what Matthew is saying, is that 40 Jubilee years
is 2,000 years.
Is 2,000 years. The Jubilee, remember, is a period of 50 years, every 50 years. And so 40 Jubilee years times 50 is 2,000. And so the coming of Christ would be exactly 2,000 years, otherwise known as 40 Jubilees, from the time when he announced that Jubilee, when the kingdom should have come, as you said, if Israel had believed. So I think what I'm hearing you say is that the kingdom must start. From what we're seeing in Ezekiel, what we're seeing in Luke, the kingdom must start on a Jubilee year.
Yes, Christ has to return, in my opinion, based on Scripture and the evidence, is in the fall of the year before the Jubilee year.
You wouldn't even know what time of the year. It's going to be in the fall because of the feasts.
Well, and if you look back in the Old Testament, major events always happened on feast days, and those feast days picture events that God planned on happening. For example, Passover. Passover in Egypt happened, and God delivered Israel using the lambs and the blood of the lambs. And Christ died exactly. On Passover, yeah, while they were killing the lambs. You can't write this. God can write it. And then when Israel came into the Promised Land under Joshua, they were told by God, go and cleanse the land. Basically, cleanse the land of all the sinful people and the sinful things that existed there. And they went, their first place was Jericho. And the 7 days they marched around Jericho was exactly the 7 days of unleavened bread. And the 7 days of unleavened bread is the removing of leaven out of your home was picturing removing leaven or sin out of your residence. And that's exactly what they were doing there.
It's all coincidence.
No. And
tell us about the number 40. Why 40 Jubilees? And just 40, that's so interesting to me, the number 40.
40 seems to be the number of a generation. Moses is such an interesting figure in the Old Testament, and it's quite ironic that his life was three segments of 40. And these ages from Adam seem to have significant markers at 40 Jubilee segments.
So great.
Like, you know, I said 40 Jubilees from Adam, you have Isaac and Abraham, and 40 Jubilees later, you have Christ. And as I understand it, 40 Jubilees later brings us to where we are right now. We are in the 40th Jubilee cycle since Christ started his ministry, and
we're at the end of the 40th Jubilee cycle. That is exciting.
It's very exciting. There's some thoughts on regarding when Christ started his ministry. But I can tell you that from what I've seen, the difference is 1 year. Some people feel that it was the Jubilee year was the 27 AD, and others 28 AD. Honestly, 1 year difference isn't going to be that big of a deal for me. But
it's a big deal for me. I want to get out of here a year earlier.
Well, so, I would too.
And we're calculating the times to the kingdom, to the coming of the kingdom.
So that's right.
We're not calculating the time here to the snatching away, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you understand that. But if we can know when Israel's kingdom is coming, we can subtract 7 years from that, and that would be the beginning of the tribulation. And we know that we have to be out of here as the body of Christ snatched away before the middle of that last 7 years. You agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very interesting. Just because the tribulation starts, don't freak out. It's going to be a very deceptive time. The first half of the tribulation is actually quite prosperous in many ways. It's going to lull Christianity and the other religions into a stupor, and they're not going to wake up until the halfway point, as Revelation points out. And so things are going to kind of hum along in that beginning, but there's going to be events. If you're awake, you'll notice. But we're kind of blessed in the sense that the Gospel of Paul is a little different from the Gospel of Israel. It's not a matter of whether you're awake or sleeping in the Gospel of Paul. Israel is told to be awake and be watching.
Yeah.
And that's why it's for those of us who are interested in the prophecy and interested in these things, these dates and these numbers that God uses throughout Scripture are very interesting. God, you know, you don't know the day nor the hour, but it doesn't say you can't know the year. And the wise men that came to Christ after his birth, they were wise because they were actually counting. The prophecy was 49 weeks of years, and they knew the year. And when they saw the sign in the heavens, they knew it had happened, and they were on their way. So he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And he gave us a sign for the first coming, and he's given us some markers for his second coming.
And how much more spectacular is the second coming?
Yeah, it's pretty.
And so if he's giving all these signs for the first coming, we would be crazy and negligent and careless and stupid to not realize that God is going to give the time of the second coming.
That's right.
So that number 40, you know, in my studies of the number 40, is also testing and trial, isn't that?
That's correct. Right?
And the
Absolutely.
Rain 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus, as we just read in Luke chapter 4, was tried for 40 days by Satan. And so we've certainly been tested on this planet in the last 2,000 years from Christ, the last 40 Jubilee years. And it's so great. We're at the end of the 40th Jubilee from Christ. We're talking, right. We're in the 40th year of it. There's 10 years left by our calculations. Is that right?
Yeah, roughly. And it's interesting. There's another 40 that stands out. From my understanding and calculations that I have, others may have it a year different. I believe that Christ died in 30 AD. It's interesting that it was in that year of his death that he prophesied about the destruction of the temple. And wouldn't it be interesting if the temple would have been destroyed exactly 40 years to the day that he made that statement? We don't know that it's to the day, but God operates so exactly, because by doing these events on holy days and these marker dates, it's another way for God to show his sovereignty over his creation. And, you know, we're told that he knew the end from the beginning. It was all scripted out. And so God is completely sovereign.
And human beings are not going to be able to withstand it. I mean, no matter if, even if they, there's so few that know what we're talking about anyway. Let's say some crazy people said, well, we're going to stop God's time. We're going to make sure that it doesn't happen on this day. So few people know about it. This is not well publicized. And yet God makes sure that his friends, didn't he tell his disciples that?
That's right.
I don't do anything except I tell my friends what I'm doing.
That's
and
right.
So he's going to tell his friends, and we're his friends, right? We're friendly guys.
Right.
So,
and it's also interesting, going back to the 2,000 years, there's another interesting verse in the book of Hosea, and Israel was in apostasy, it's interesting that the statement is made that after 2 days he will raise us up, and on the third day he will restore us. It strikes me interesting that it could be 2,000 years, and on the third day, the 3,000 year at the beginning, they're restored. Could be a foreshadowing statement.
Yeah, we were just talking earlier about how different scriptures can have dual applications, like the 3 days.
That's right.
You can find 3 days a lot of different places. Jonah in the belly of the great fish for 3 days, and of course our Lord in the tomb for 3 days, and we have 3 days, if you will, since Christ. Think about it, right?
That's right.
If 1,000 years is as a day to God, that's the clue and the key in 2 Peter 3:8, then the 2 days would be 2,000 years, would it not?
Yeah.
2 days from Christ is 2,000 years, and then the third day is resurrection. That is, the third day would begin the millennial reign of Christ, right?
That's right. And that number 120, again, going back to that number, it's everywhere. 120 years for Moses. When God said that his spirit would not strive with man, that his days would be shortened, it would be 120 days. You know, that can have a dual meaning as well, going to the actual number of years of man's life. Also, mankind being the 120 jubilees.
Oh, I don't think you emphasized that enough. You probably did say it, but I want to emphasize it to our viewers because it's so important. The 120 also applies to the jubilee, that is the group of 50 years from Adam.
That's right.
Because we're 6,000 years. Remember, my series is called The Final Years of Millennium 6. We are looking to fulfill 6,000 years from Adam, and in the beginning of the 7,000th year, Jesus Christ returns to set up a 1,000-year kingdom. And what is 120 times 50? 120 times 50.
Oh, 6,000.
6,000. That's right. So you take the number 120, which you've just been telling us how important that is, multiply it times 50, which is the number of Jubilee years, and
that's
you
right.
get the amazing number of 6,000. Does God know numbers or what? I think God knows numbers.
Well, guys, take a look at Ezekiel. It's too much to read here, but pay attention to the first chapter and the first verses. It's the 30th year, the fifth year of their captivity, and he gives these dates as he's going along through his prophecies. And you get to the establishment of the 1,000 years in his prophecies, and it's the 25th year of their captivity. It's 20 years later. It's the Jubilee.
Folks, you can't make this up. Matthew, thanks for all the study you've
done over
the years bringing this to us. God does let his friends know what he's doing. It's not, some people will say, we're not supposed to know the time. We're not supposed to know. Just go on your daily life. No, God loves it when people look for him. Paul tells us to love his appearing. We love the appearing of Christ. And we know that for us, there are no time pegs. There are no Israel feasts that would tell us when our snatching away is. But we are interested in Israel. You and I are interested in the things of Israel. Because God loves Israel, he's going to throw out those imposters over there in that land that are there now. And he's going to bring the true Israel in wherever they may be. And he does that in a certain time, at a certain season. And we are telling you that he will do it 40 Jubilee years after Jesus Christ stood up at Nazareth to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And we are there. So look up, because your redemption draws nigh.
It just doesn't make sense that God would do it on the 41st Jubilee. It just, none of those numbers ever happen in Scripture. He's exact on his dates. And I believe with my whole heart that he's going to show his sovereignty the way he has in the Old Testament and do things exactly on his calendar for Israel. But like you've said in the past, everything in the Bible is for us, but it's not to us. The writings of Paul are to us, but the rest of it is for us as well, and it's for those who are interested to keep watch and share with others. We can see these things as well.
The Martin Zender way of saying that would be the number 41 sucks.